We continue our series today, A Return to Exile. And we take a different lens today. We come to the New Testament and we come to 1 Peter. We're only going to scratch the surface in this letter this morning, the first few verses. I'm going to come back to a little later in this series. If you were to look up the whole book, it's often summarized, this letter, as strangers in a strange land. It's a really appropriate kind of letter to come to in a series about exile, because Peter is writing to people in exile, physically and metaphorically. We'll have a look at that this morning. And we want to really ask ourselves this morning the age-old question of how do we as followers of Jesus, how do we as people with the mission of God in the hands of ordinary people, how do you and I live as followers of Jesus in a world that we, in essence, don't belong to? The scriptures remind us that we are strangers in this land, that we are citizens of heaven, that we are not of this kingdom, but we're of the kingdom of God. And yet we live in this tension, this beautiful but broken world, where every day we're confronted with the reality of how do I live the way that Jesus would want me to live in the midst of this tension that I face, the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is now with the victory we have in Jesus, the freedom we have in Jesus, yet the kingdom not yet, a kingdom not yet fully realized, in a world that is hostile, in a world where we experience suffering and pain, in a world where there are many challenges, in a world where there is opposition and persecution, in a world where we live in the midst of a pandemic right now, in the midst of lockdown, for many of us again in Melbourne, in other places across the world. How does God's word speak to us as exiles? In 1 Peter, in this letter that Peter wrote to followers of Jesus, probably about 30 years after Jesus has died and risen, the early church is birthed. And here is the early church suddenly scattering. Under Roman rule and persecution, terrible things happening, opposition, turmoil, struggle. The early believers are literally exiles. They're fleeing. They're dispersing to different parts of the world. And Peter writes to them in this challenging but beautiful letter, 1 Peter, beginning at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles living in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and the provinces of Asia. Dear friends, God the Father chose you long ago as his children. The Holy Spirit is at work within you so that you may live lives that reflect that of the Son, Jesus Christ. May God fill you with more and more grace and peace. Here's the challenge. I've got an Australian passport. You could be watching today and you might be an Australian citizen like me. You might have dual citizenship. You might hold a Chinese passport, a Korean passport, Indonesian passport, a British passport, an American passport, even a Queensland passport. I'm an Australian citizen. This sits in my drawer, and I was expecting, particularly in my role with Global Interaction, to be using this a lot over the last couple of years, but it sits in my drawer. I'm an Australian citizen. But at the end of the day, far more importantly, is my identity as a follower of Jesus. I'm a citizen of the King. And how I shape my life is not around the fact that I hold an Australian passport, although I love this country. I shape my values and my priorities and my ethics around what does it mean for me to be a follower of the King. That is my citizenship. I'm a stranger in this land. I'm a citizen of another place, ultimately, spiritually speaking, because like many of you watching today as followers of Jesus, that is our true home. That is our true calling. And if you like, we live as exiles, just like those first century believers lived who Peter writes to. Exiles. We read in scriptures, that we're called to be in this world, but not of it. And we live with that challenge every day. What does that mean? To be in this world, but not of this world. To live in this world, but not to embrace the culture, the values, the priorities, the behavior of this world. But what does it mean to live as an exile, a stranger, in this world and bring the love and the hope of Jesus? What does it mean to live in this beautiful and broken world and to embrace the ethics of Jesus? What does it mean to live in this beautiful but broken world and to seek to act and behave and have the attitude of Christ? What does it mean in this beautiful and broken world where so many have moved away from pursuing Christendom, but so many yearn for the hope of Jesus? How are we meant to live? What are some of the practices and patterns of Jesus that help us to do life in the midst of turmoil and challenge and chaos and struggle? In the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a health crisis you might be confronting, in the midst of a financial crisis, in the midst of a relationship breakdown, in the midst of a time of feeling lost in this world, feeling stuck or trapped or overwhelmed, how are we as followers of Jesus meant to live and look differently to those around us? Got the whiteboard here this morning rather than slides. Just want to share a few thoughts around this practically this morning. What's it mean for you and I to live as exiles? You see, when Peter writes in the first century to the New Testament believers, these early church followers, they were facing great opposition, persecution. Some of their friends had been arrested, executed, terrible things happening as Rome tried to oppress this, what they saw as this cult of Christianity. And Peter writes this letter of challenge and encouragement and hope. Go away this week and read it. It's a letter for our time. How do we live in this strange land? How do we live at a time like this? And Peter, in a sense, wants to remind the first century believers, his friends, his community, his scattered people, of the hope they have in Jesus, but the challenge and encouragement to embrace the way of Jesus. Here's what I see. We see it in this letter, we see it across the New Testament. We see it day to day in our world today. Christians have faced it throughout history. How do we respond? How do we live in this world but not be of it? Well, you see, we can become entrapped. There's our first E word today to go with exiles. We can become entrapped. I can become entrapped. I live with that reality every day. I'm a sinful, selfish person saved by Jesus, and I need God to be at work in my life. But I know what it means to be entrapped or ensnared, enslaved. I know what it means to kind of cross the line and to embrace the culture and values of this world that at times can seem so attractive. I live in a world like you where every day through television, through media, through information overload, through marketing, we are bombarded with messages how we should live, and most of those are at odds with the kingdom of God, and I can fall in that trap. I can become entrapped by the culture, by the lights of this world that can impact my conversations, my attitudes, my behavior, my priorities, my ethics, how I see others, how I see myself. Today, as we unpack what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus as an exile in this strange land, the kingdom now and not yet, it may be the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you today about areas of your life that you need to let go of or get right or get back on track with. I don't raise this today so much to kind of beat people up with a stick to say, look at sin in your life. It could be that. But you know, it ultimately becomes a distraction and a detour. The evil one wants us to get entrapped in the values of this world. The evil one wants us to embrace more the culture of this world because we lose our missional edge, we lose our missional purpose, we lose our kingdom priority and sharpness whenever we become entrapped. And how I can become entrapped could look very different to you. What is the behavior today, the practices, the habits, the patterns, the values, the beliefs that you might need to honestly lay on the table today and say, these aren't consistent with being a follower of the King? We can all get entrapped. But you know, at the other end of the scale, we can also seek to escape. You see, some of us will say, well, I don't want to get entrapped in a fearful, evil, dark world. So what will I do? I'll retreat. I'll retreat to my holy huddle. I'll just hang around a small group of Christians who think like me and act like me. I'll throw myself into the scriptures and theology. They're not saying anything wrong with that, but that isn't the primary focus of being a disciple. I will feel safe in my holy huddle. I'll escape this dark and broken world. I'll stay safe in the confines of Christendom and in my safe little huddle, and I won't move out into that dark, broken world. Jesus doesn't call us to be entrapped, but he certainly doesn't call us to escape. Yes, at times we need rest and retreat. We follow the pattern of Jesus, but we don't see in Jesus escape from the world. Yes, at times we become overwhelmed by what is happening in our world. At times we live with fear. At times we look at the world and we see things that we don't like, but we're never called to escape. Throughout history, Christians have grappled with that. We're not called to escape. And often if we adopt an attitude of escaping this world, what do? We see sin all around us and we become people known for what we are against rather than what we are for. It's a challenge for us in the church today. Not to be known for what we're against, but to be known what we are for in Jesus' name as people of love and hope and grace with the message of the good news of Jesus. And so if we want to avoid being entrapped and we want to avoid escaping, we come back and we ask the simple but profound question that I need to keep asking myself every day as an exile, as a sojourner, as a stranger. You can get the translation of 1 Peter 1 where he describes it being a pilgrim in this land. I get that language. What's it mean to be a pilgrim, a sojourner, an exile in this land? What does it mean for me to be careful that I don't get entrapped by the culture of this world? What does it mean that I don't seek but to escape to my holy, safe huddle and really have no earthly difference in Jesus' name? What do we see in Jesus? We see engagement. We see engagement. Imagine the school teachers at home are now having a look at that whiteboard and saying it's probably good that Scott is not a school teacher. But we have engagement. At the heart of the incarnation, we should never lose sight of this. The older I get, the more I want to come back every day to the reality that the heart of my calling is to model the incarnation of Jesus. John chapter 1, God breaks into human history. God breaks into human history in the flesh. What do we read in the Message translation? God becomes flesh and moves into the human neighborhood. I love that because God is for us. God is for a broken world. God is for me, a broken person. God enters into my neighborhood, into my world, because he comes as a God of love and grace and peace and hope and restoration and renewal. He comes to a broken world. He breaks into a particular culture and context in a historical moment in Bethlehem. Jesus becomes human. And John celebrates and he brings us glimpses of the grace and the love of God. God has come to town. It might be today in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of the challenges you face. It might be quite where you feel overwhelmed by the circumstances in your life. As an exile, it might be today a reminder God has come to town afresh for you. God is here for you. Your Emmanuel God, God with us, is here today. Crossway. And we think about Jesus' engagement. We think about the incarnation. Jesus doesn't embrace the values of this world. He comes as the countercultural Messiah. But neither does he escape opposition and turmoil. He enters into a broken and messy world to the point that he'll go to the cross for you and I. He fully engages. He fully engages. And the calling for you and I, therefore, what does it mean for you and I to be a people, therefore, who embody the good news of Jesus in our lives every day? Because that's what engagement leads to. We embody the good news. We seek to live as incarnation people in the kingdom now and the kingdom not yet, realizing that God is not finished with my life yet. God is not finished with my family yet. God is not finished with this broken world. We engage as we embody the good news as disciples. We embrace the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We enter into a beautiful but broken world as the hands and feet of Jesus. And we see that with a sense of privilege and responsibility. We embody the good news. We seek as exiles to say, how do we live out the words and the ways and the works of Jesus on a day-to-day basis where God has put me in my neighborhood, in my community, in my world? How do I embody the hope and the love of Jesus in a broken world as an exile? You see, that's what Peter calls the first century believers to. They face opposition and turmoil. They're asking big questions. Where is God in the midst of this? How should we behave? What do we do in the midst of persecution, opposition? What about when we feel so overwhelmed? How do we do life together? They're asking the big questions. And Peter says, be careful. Don't get entrapped. Don't get entrapped and embrace the culture of the day and become comfortable. Keep living as countercultural people, but don't escape. Don't run away from the challenge you face, but trust God with audacious and bold faith and enter in. He calls the first century followers to engagement. And if we read the rest of 1 Peter, you go away over a cup of coffee this week and sit down and just read what is really a short but beautiful letter, you're reminded that time and time again, what Peter calls the first century exiled Christians to is the way of Jesus, the way of the King. They're reminded they're citizens of heaven. And so today, if we briefly unpack this engagement word, what might that look like in reality? Can I just highlight these four things very quickly this morning? The first is that we're called to engage securely. It's really the key, I think, tipping point challenge for us today. We're called to engage securely. This is fascinating. We can't lose sight of this. Jesus begins his earthly ministry. He's about to step into the real world, the messiness of the broken world in which he's come to usher in the kingdom. Jesus comes, and what is the first thing we see? We see Jesus' baptism at the beginning of his public ministry. And what do we see? Don't lose sight of this. We see the Father speak loving identity over him. You are my son whom I love. And the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus. Jesus is empowered by the Spirit for the ministry ahead. You are my son, my child, I love you. The Holy Spirit comes. There is the identity of Jesus wrapped up in his baptism. Who he is and who is at work within him. And immediately what happens? Jesus steps into the furnace. Jesus steps into the wilderness. He steps into the turmoil and the chaos of the world in which we live. He suddenly is thrust into the world which is not his world, but where the Father and the Spirit go with him. And of course, what do we see? We see the evil one immediately seek to entrap him and call him to escape. We see the evil one say, don't do it the Father's way. I got an easier way. I got a better way. I got a way where you won't have to suffer. I got a different way for you, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you can escape. You can run now. And there's the dual, if you like, opportunity of entrapment and escape put before Jesus. But Jesus, with the authority of the Father, with the Spirit at work within him, Jesus embraces engagement. Even knowing that ahead will be the cross, Jesus stands securely in who he is and who is at work within him. Back in lockdown, faced with different challenges today, faced with personal challenges, faced with health or financial issues, faced with your business closed, faced with unemployment, faced with living in a world where you're from a different ethnic background and you sadly have to deal with racism in your world or discrimination. Faced with feeling that you are kind of pushed to the margins, faced with what at times might seem circumstances that are overwhelming, We are reminded today of the freedom, the authority, the love and the power that comes when we embrace who we are. Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim, a child of God. Scott Pilgrim, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Scott Pilgrim, given the capacity of heaven to embrace what is before me. You know, my name is a comic book character, a cult kind of figure in some places. And often still when I pay for things, people will say, is that really your name? You know, there's a movie, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Here's the reality for me. This Scott Pilgrim, not the superhero Scott Pilgrim, the very ordinary Scott Pilgrim. I cannot take on the world on my own. I cannot take on the world on my own. I have failed many times seeking to do that. I need to remind myself as an exile, the only way that I can survive, but more than survive, I can thrive. The only way for me to pilgrim through this challenging world is to each and every day embrace my identity just as Jesus did, that I am a loved child of God and the Holy Spirit is at work within me. Because look at what is Peter's first reminder to the believers in the first century church under opposition and turmoil. He says, dear friends, God the Father chose you long ago as his children and the Holy Spirit is at work within you. There's the same template. We see it time and time and time again. We come back to the template today. How do we take on the world as exiles? We do it as Jesus did, secure in our identity. We are children of God, citizens of the King. The Holy Spirit is with us today. It may be today you need to stop. It may be today that you've allowed your identity to be shaped by the world around you. You've allowed other voices to shape your identity. You've allowed the world to label you. You've allowed even your own mind or the evil one to label you. It's time to take off those labels today and to remind yourself who you are securely as a child of God. And it may be today you're seeking to do life in your own strength and you continue to stumble and fall. And we've all experienced that. And the challenge and the promise of Scripture is to stand back up on your feet today and don't seek to do it on your own, but to seek to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I saw a tweet from Christine Kane just before I came to speak this morning. And it said, you know, as we put down our anchor, we will not drift. Today is the day to put down our anchor. As children of God, as people of the Spirit, secure in Him, that we can take on whatever the world throws at us. And secondly, as Peter says, be reminded of who you are and the Spirit at work within you. Notice that Peter says, to the exiles, plural, to the exiles, plural, to the sojourners, plural, to the pilgrims, plural, because we're in this together. Jesus, secure in his identity, Jesus reminded of God's love for him, empowered by the Spirit, Jesus steps out, overcomes the temptation, begins his public ministry. The first thing that he does, call others around him. Yes, with a missional mandate. Yes, with missional intent. But more than that, because Jesus understood the importance of community. Even the Son of God who breaks into the world for us recognizes he cannot take on this strange world on his own. He calls other exiles around him. He calls friends around him. They become his extended family on mission. He calls others around him that he might enter in, that he might embrace a broken world with relationship, with prayer, with community, with others. Challenging him, others journeying with him, others encouraging him, others sharing in his burdens. Jesus gives us, of course, that pattern that we continue to live with today, that we are better together. And yet the challenge for us as exiles, the challenge often when we face the toughest times in our lives, something inside of us can say, I will take this on my own. I will seek to do this on my own, often because of an unwillingness maybe for us to be authentic or vulnerable or reach out to seek help. But today, in the midst of a pandemic, back in lockdown, with a sense of some uncertainty about our future, but a confidence in our God, whatever your situation is today, my encouragement to embrace again the pattern of Jesus and be willing to reach out and say, I need others on the journey. I need help. I need friends on the journey. I need exiles around me. I need prayer today. I need help today. I need support today. I'm feeling pain today. I can't do this on my own today. The beauty and the privilege of being people of grace on the journey together. Let's reach out. Let's love each other. Let's support each other Crossway. It's part of our DNA, but let's practice it more and more and more in this season. And then as Jesus engages, what do we see? What is the pattern of Jesus? He calls others around him. He secure in his identity, empowered by the Spirit. What does he do? He intentionally steps in to brokenness. He intentionally steps in to brokenness. He steps into the real world. An old mentor friend of mine said, you haven't got to look far to find brokenness. It's right there beside you. In fact, it's right there inside us. We're broken people. We're broken people, exiles, but broken people who God is putting back together one day at a time by his Spirit. And here's the, if you like, the paradox and yet the beautiful pattern of Jesus. Jesus sends us out as broken people who God is putting back together, but he sends us out as broken people to embrace other broken people. And as we stand with and serve and love other broken people, not only do we bless them, but the Holy Spirit continues to cultivate us and shape us into people who look and think more like Jesus. Grab hold of that afresh, Crossway, today. Peter finishes his introduction to his letter with the words, "May God fill you with more and more grace and peace." May God fill you with more and more grace and peace. It's a two-sided coin. We're reminded the Holy Spirit is here today, and I know I need grace in my life. I need more of God's grace in my life. I know today in the midst of turmoil and chaos and uncertainty, I need more of God's peace at work in my life. But here's the lesson I keep learning. As I move out into a broken world, as I come alongside people whose lives are messy, as I come alongside people who are moving through crisis and challenge and turmoil, as I come alongside people who are facing injustice or racism or discrimination, as I come alongside people who the world might at times want to push aside, as I come alongside ordinary people like me, just grappling with the challenges of life, here's the secret that I continue to learn. As I invest in their life, as I seek to bring grace and peace, the grace of God, the hope of God, the peace of Jesus, as I seek to bring that into their worlds, serving them with my hands rolled up, getting involved in the messiness of their lives, what does God's Spirit do? He grows grace and peace in my world. He grows grace and peace in my life. He starts to cultivate and shape me more and more into a person who looks like Jesus, who can be secure in who I am and ready to take on more challenges in my own life as an exile, as I reach out to others with the love and the hope of Jesus. Peter wraps up this beginning of his letter by saying, and don't forget in verse 3 that we are people of hope. Eternal hope. Eternal hope. We live in the kingdom now and not yet. We're exiles. We're called to engage, but God is not finished in our world or in our lives. We're called to be aware of the danger of not getting entrapped by the culture and the values of this world, but to live as countercultural people. We're called to be careful that we don't run away to the holy huddle, to a safe place where we don't engage in the brokenness and the reality of this world, but we are called to engage, but not engage on our own. Engage together, embodying the good news of Jesus, remembering that we are citizens of the King. The kingdom now and the kingdom not yet. There is more to come. We see in Revelation that beautiful picture where there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more racism, no more injustice, no more oppression, no more sickness, no more chaos or turmoil. But as we pursue the kingdom in its fullness, God graciously invites us today to be people of shalom. He invites us by word and by action, by words and doing, to step out afresh into a broken world and to bring grace and peace and hope, to bring the words, the works, and the ways of Jesus, to bring grace and peace and hope. And here it is, as we go to broken people with grace and peace and hope, God fills us with grace and peace and hope. Let's be engaging people. Let's be people who embody the good news of Jesus each day, the hands and feet of Jesus in a broken world. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your love and your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you are a God who never gives up on us. You are a God who's here today, a God who comes to us afresh with forgiveness, with renewal, with restoration, with peace, with grace, with hope. Father, some of us who have been sharing in the service today will know that we've taken detours. We've taken side roads. We've become ensnared and entrapped by the bright lights of this world, by the culture of this world. We might see parts of our life that we realize are inconsistent with being a citizen of the King. And so today we come with confession. We come with contrite hearts, but we come boldly before you and humbly before you because you're a God of forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that each one of us might experience forgiveness today, that we might be open and vulnerable and honest in letting go of those things that are inconsistent with what it means to be a follower of the King. Others of us, Lord, might need to come today and recognize, God, I've run away. I've become safe in my holy huddle. I've lost contact with the world around me. It's become a dark and evil place and I've been scared to engage. Lord, refresh me, renew me, give me a new sense of strength. Remind me of my identity. Give me courage and faith that I might step out again as a follower of Jesus. And then for each and every one of us today, whether we're here in lockdown in Melbourne, whether we're watching across Australia, whether we're watching across the world, bring us back to our identity as children of God. Remind us that we're empowered by the Spirit. Help us to embrace afresh the privilege of stepping out and serving in this beautiful but broken world. Open our eyes to opportunities. Open our eyes to people around us. Open our eyes to things that are not right. Send us out as shalom people to bring grace and peace and hope that we might grow in grace and peace and hope. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.